Today I'm going to talk to you on my series on the table of demons. This is part three, and I want to talk to you today about whose voice is in your head. What about the different voices that are inside your head? And everybody has voices in their head. Everybody hears different thoughts, different voices in their head. So I'm hoping today will be really, really practical, help you understand what's going on inside and help you discern what you are hearing. Before we do, this morning when I woke up, and this will happen, the Holy Spirit will speak to you at different times of the day and different moments. It's usually when he speaks to me on profound things, it's usually I'm not thinking about anything like that. It's yet you're just really relaxed. You're about to fall asleep or about to wake up, and then a thought will come to you. So since I'm going to talk to you about the voices that are in your head, one of the voices that's in your head is the Holy Spirit. And I had this thought come to me this morning, and I know that it was the Holy Spirit, and that was I saw a vision inside my mind, not outwardly, nothing. It was just an image, a picture inside my head, basically, of a foot. And the foot was injured. And the foot was hurting. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit saying that he wants to heal somebody's foot or feet. So does anyone here, do you have a problem with your foot? Could be online, could be someone here. You have a problem with your foot. Okay, we have a foot problem over here. Anyone else? Here's another one. Here's one, two, three. There's another one. Okay, four. Okay, right now, I don't care which foot it is, left or right, or if it's both. It doesn't matter. We live with the miraculous God, and he's going to do what he's famous for. And what he's famous for is rescuing his people. So you that have a foot issue, throw your foot, put your hand on your foot, for both of them if you can, whatever is comfortable. We're going to pray for your feet right now. You with me, guys?
Yes.
Okay, let's pray. In the name of Jesus, Father, touch these feet. Bring deliverance and healing. Bring complete restoration, not just those that are here in this room, but those that are watching online. Heal them in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just to give a little bit of clarity, because I do know that when God will show a portion of a person's body to me, usually it means that it could be multiple people, and it could be something specific, it could be something general, but what I also saw was something on the inside, like one of the major bones in your foot was just aching or possibly had a minor crack, and I believe God has made you well. Amen. Could we just thank the Lord for that? Give him a thanks. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, so today I want to talk to you about the voices that are in your head. Everybody on planet Earth has more than their own voice in their head. Every single person. So let's get into this and let's get some understanding about the voices in your head. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're jumping to verse 20. This is our chapter that we're learning this information from and finding out about the table of demons and the table of the Lord. Rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrificed, we're right in the middle of a statement that Paul is making, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. This word fellowship is an interesting Greek word because it has to do with joint participation. It's you coming and participating with. And Paul says, I do not want you to participate with demons, which means you have the opportunity you could. If Paul is telling us, I don't want you to do this, it means some of you are, or all of us are, and we could be doing it now and then and not even know it. And what we need to understand is he's saying what Gentiles sacrifice to, they sacrifice to demons. What he's referring to, that sacrifice that he's making, is their heart commitment. What's going on with your heart? Is your heart committed to the kingdom of God? Is your heart committed to Jesus Christ? Is your heart committed to your own body, your own lust, your own ways, your own self? There are some people who, you may know someone that is more self-centered and selfish than they are community-oriented. And they do everything, every decision they make in life is about self. I'm sorry, but you are sacrificing to demons. You are not sacrificing to God. We need to not have fellowship with demons, have fellowship with God. So let's continue, verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. And I shared with you that this word cup comes from the understanding of being refreshed. The word cup is referring to what brings refreshment. encouragement to you? What energizes you? And the table that it's referring to is says you can't have the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons, nor can you partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. This isn't referring just to what we call communion or the act of taking the bread and the cup. It's referring to what feeds you in life. And the table that it's referring to is, where do you get your philosophy from? Where do you get your reasoning from? Where do you get, what do you agree with when it comes to a thought process and when it comes to a way of life? Do you have a biblical worldview or do you have a secular worldview? And a biblical worldview is saying, I'm going to go into this world with my mind being changed by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to renew my mind and I'm going to keep moving forward and I'm going to evaluate life through the Bible, not the Bible through life. A secular worldview is one that agrees with the secular way, which is anti-Christ, anti-God, moving away from God. It started in the garden when the serpent talked to Eve and Eve gave part of that forbidden fruit to her husband. They started the process of separating from God. And everyone on planet Earth has had the opportunity and the option to move towards God or towards the secular world, which is a spirit of antichrist and a spirit of anti-word. And so the table that it's referring to is, where are you, what are you eating from? What are you getting your nutrition from? What are the parts of that you are working on? In fact, the way you eat at the table, here's how a person will eat at the table. You accept and agree with the philosophy and reasoning being served. So what philosophy and reasoning of life are you agreeing with, amening to, and joining yourself to? And I'm going to tell you, Christians are all over the map. Most Christians don't even read their Bible. Most Christians never pick up the Bible during the week. Majority of Christians memorize a Bible verse here or there when they're in trouble. But to actually just sit down and discipline themselves and learn something. But at the same time, Americans have no problem sitting for 3 to 4 hours in front of a television being filled with the table of demons. What philosophy are you clinging to, agreeing with? What reasoning do you do? Because whatever philosophy and reasoning you are eating of, that's the table you're at. It all starts in your mind, your thoughts. That's where all of it begins. Everything that you do comes from within, inside your thought life. And we're going to talk about that, the voices that are inside your head. What you need to also understand is that you have an enemy. And in fact, it's an entire army of demons. Entire army of demons. And for whatever reason, to say that there are no longer demons on planet Earth. We live in America. There are no demons. Have you looked at Sacramento lately? Oh, to say that there are no longer demons, or demons don't exist, or demons don't bother me, would be echoing the table of demons and the doctrine of demons. Demons don't die like a human. Humans die, and they're off planet Earth, and if they are a believer, they are with the Lord. So the Bible says, to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. If they're not a believer in Jesus Christ, they are going to a prison called hell, waiting for the last judgment to be thrown into the lake of fire. Now, demons don't die. The same demons that are on planet Earth when Jesus Christ walked on planet Earth are still here today. Just because you don't see people foaming at the mouth, falling down, and talking in a voice that's really strange, doesn't mean there aren't demons. There are demonic activity happening all the time. You are being bombarded daily with demons. You are being overwhelmed on a regular basis. So what you need to understand is there is something that wants you dead or destroyed. Or it wants to steal your hope, wants to steal your energy, wants to steal your life. The enemy has come to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus has come to give you life. So what do you want? Death, life, blessing, cursing? God says in the Old Testament, you choose. It's up to us. What do we choose? So what you need to know, there are voices inside your head. Every person you included, me included, every person on planet Earth has four voices in their head. Voice number one is you. Voice number two is your memories. Voice number three is God's voice, and voice number four is demonic. Let me share with you what this is referring to. First of all, the first voice that you have in your head is you. The voice that you have, things that you have learned, things that you have gathered, your opinion, you look at life. It is usually the loudest voice that's in your head. Voice number two is your memories, things that you have done in the past that have marked you. Do you know how many people listen to the voice of memories more than the voice of the word? Here's what I mean. You failed at something. Let me give you an example. An example was, just pick on me. That's the easiest thing to do. When I entered first grade, they decided to do an experiment on my class, and that was not to teach us phonics. They decided they would teach us sight reading. So you had to memorize every single word, how to say it and how to spell it by sight. Had no clue what the sounds were, no phonics at all. By the time we got to the end of the second grade, they realized it was a total failure, and they went back in the first grade to teach phonics. But my group of kids, they never caught back up, ever, never. So I've had thoughts in my head over and over and over and over, you can't read. You're stupid. You don't know how to read. Therefore, you can go nowhere in life. And these are memories. I still remember the physical, emotional pain of being in the fifth grade and fed up with flunking every spelling test for five grades. Flunked every one. Went to summer school every year because I couldn't read. Every year. So once I was fed up with it, and I remember cheating, writing words on my hand so I could spell them right in the fifth grade, and the teacher caught me. Had me stand up, humiliated me in front of the whole class, and she assumed I was lazy and didn't study. The opposite was true. But I didn't know how to study. I didn't know. I tried to memorize every word. I just was tired of failing, so I reverted to cheating. Why? Because I didn't want to fail. So from that point to many other years, I had memories you can't spell. I fight daily thoughts that come into my head from demons that you can't read. Every single time I mispronounce a word, I go back into the emotional feeling and I get attacked by that. So I'm going to get you out of it now. So that's enough of me. Let's go on to you guys. What memories do you have? Do you have a memory of failing something? Do you have a memory of one time I was playing basketball. I guess back to me. I was in junior high school, that they call them middle school now. I was on the eighth grade basketball team, and I was real nervous, and we were playing basketball, and I'm dribbling down the court, and I passed it to someone I thought was on my team, and it was a cheerleader. She had the same uniform. You know, I just saw her in the corner of my eye, and she looked open. I didn't even know it was a she. Oh, what happened? Okay. Oh, no, 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 no. There we go. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, that's, again, goes back to a memory of you made a big mistake. Have you got mistakes in your life that you've held on to and they mark you? And the demons use it to tell you you are no good, that you can't make it. And these are memories. You have these in your head. You also have positive ones and good ones. The next one is God's voice. God's voice comes in multiple ways. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, angelic beings. These voices are in your head as well, God's voice. Demonic voices are in your head. Demons talk to you. Every day they try. They try to put their voice inside your head. Demons don't care that it's Super Bowl Sunday and they're going to let you party with your family. They're just still looking for every way. How do we put a gauge or a protection around our head to combat those demonic thoughts? And that's what I want to help you with today. I want to help you understand every human has these voices in their head. Then, and some are louder than others. But let me tell you something. They all sound exactly the same. They're all your thoughts. They all come across to you as your voice. They sound like you. You don't have four different voices. When you hear God speak to you, it's not in a different voice. If you're female, you're probably hearing you're still your voice. It doesn't come across in a different voice. Demonic spirits don't come across in a different voice. It's more of a frequency. It's just the same. Getting anywhere with you guys? Okay, let's help you and let's go on. In 1 Kings, Pastor Josh brought this out last Sunday. When he got to this point, I thought, whoa, what a great example. I wrote it down real quick and brought it into my sermon because he did such an amazing job. I wanted to use it for this example. He was talking about Elijah, right? It was Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm looking, I'm going to make sure I got the right name. Didn't forget. And Elijah was facing a famine, and God told him to go to this particular widow woman, and she would help him get through this season. Here's the part I want you to see. Here's what God says to him. See, I have is past tense, commanded a widow there to provide for you. But when he got there, she had no clue. When he got there, she goes, I'm going to make this, and then we're going to go, my son and I are going to go in, and we're going to eat this, and then we're going to die. But God commanded her. God commanded her. God spoke to her. Why didn't she hear it? How come the voice wasn't understood? Why didn't she embrace it? Why wasn't she waiting for the, there you are, prophet, get on over here. Eat this cake so we can eat. God commanded her, prepared. How many commands is God telling you and you're not even paying attention to or listening to? I want to help you with that, understanding the voice. John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You need to know the voice of Jesus inside your head. You need to know when Jesus is talking. You need to know when you are talking. You need to know when demons are talking. Ephesians chapter 6 says this, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against, look at what it says, principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age. I'm going to talk about that in a second. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. These are, I believe these are categories of demonic spirits. And different spirits, just like angels, are in different categories. There are cherubim, seraphim. There are warrior angels. There are archangels. There are civilian angels, military angels. I believe the same setup happens in the demonic world, and that there are a group of demonic spirits that are considered principalities. This Greek word principalities comes from two words. One word means the beginning, and the second word means dominion. And so it's really telling you that it is the beginning of dominion, and when it attacks, it's the beginning of dominion coming into your life to take over. And they want to control you. They want to take over. And then you could do a whole study about demonic spirits in these different categories. But what I want you to realize is the Bible is clearly telling us we are not wrestling against other people. We're not wrestling against ourselves. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against spiritual beings. Whether you know it or not, demons are attacking you and your family. Angels have been sent to minister to you and your family. The Holy Spirit has been sent to you to help you and to encourage you and to strengthen you and to get you through every single thing. So now let's go. 1 Timothy says in chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, well, when you're looking at the world right now, it's not hard to believe we're in last days. I mean, God could reset the clock and calm the world down and go for another 1,000 years, or it could come to an end in the next 2 decades. We don't know. But in the latter times, some will, I appreciate the word some versus a lot. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Paul is communicating to Timothy that the church is bombarded with demonic spirits and doctrines of demons. But the church can identify them, can hear them, can acknowledge what it is, and walk away from it. A church and an individual and a believer can win all the time. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, that means that we live. This word walk means to order one's behavior, the way that you live life, the way that you go through, the rules and the boundaries that you've set in your own life and how you achieve them and how you walk through them. The way we walk in the flesh. How do we live in the flesh? We do not war according to the flesh. We're not going to win the flesh by trying to beat the flesh. You will not win over the lust of your flesh or the appetite of your flesh by just trying to be strong-willed. Your will will end up giving in. You will never eat cake again. And for the next 3 weeks, you meditate on cake. You dream cake. You think cake. And then you find an excuse. Well, it's a holiday. Well, it's a Super Bowl. Well, it's my birthday. Well, and then you have not a piece. A cake. You try to fight the flesh with the flesh. It doesn't work. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, which means natural, but mighty in God. Listen to this. We have mighty, mighty weapons from God for the purpose of pulling down strongholds. This Greek word for strongholds means a fortress. It has to do with something that is strong and controlling the area. And the strongholds are inside your mind. They're inside your mind. The strongholds are the ones that are bombarding. I have thoughts that hit me, not every single day, but pretty regular, that are from grade school that I just shared with you. And the enemy still tries to use it, still tries to bring up memories, still tries to make you go back and envision that, still tries to bring all the embarrassment back to you and to make you feel guilty, make you feel guilty. There are people, Kevin shared during worship that he was an addict for, I think, 17 years is what he said. Do you know how many demonic spirits want to bombard his head to take him back to visually seeing how fun it was to be high? Or how relieved he was of pressure? They are heartless. They are heartless against you. They want to hurt you. They want to destroy you. They want to destroy your confidence. They want to destroy your ability to move forward in life. They want to make sure that you are always considered a loser. And thoughts come into your mind of whenever you lost, whenever you failed, whenever you made a mistake, to keep you feeling like a loser. And you need to understand you are sanctified in God. You are the righteousness in Christ of God in Christ Jesus. And he says that God has given us weapons to pull down strongholds. The strongholds are different for everybody. They're all different. There are things that you've done really, really well. Those aren't the ones that we're concerned about. We're concerned about the ones where you made a mistake, you failed, and they are still being brought to your remembrance over and over to keep you in bondage, to keep you locked up. And then we go on in the same chapter, verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against, here is the key, the knowledge of God. Whenever a thought comes into your mind and it is combating God's way, God's word, God's will. It is demonic. Even though you are thinking it in your own mind, where you are thinking, and it says, casting down arguments and every high thing. Do you know how many people have argued with themselves? Argued. And then go use the Bible to prove their point so that they cannot tithe. They've argued, they've wrestled with themselves, and they go into an argument, and they start to leave and find scriptures. I'm going to prove to you why I don't have to tithe. Why is it do you want to refuse a heart of generosity? Okay, I'm going to tithe, but I'm only going to tithe on my net because I didn't get that money. Look, where's that thought process coming from? The very thought of saying, I don't have to tithe is like saying, I don't have to worship. I don't have to pray. I don't have to be baptized. I don't have to even go to church. All of those things are true. You don't have to. But you get to. You don't have to pray. No one is making you pray. No one is making you acknowledge that God is great and he's worthy of worship. No one's telling you that. No one is making you do any of those things in Scripture. And the reason you're not is because you are following an argument that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. And you need to argue back with Scripture. The problem is people don't want to be a student of the Bible. And they don't know enough Bible scriptures. And they got to be able to come back against the enemy. For an example, the thought process of the thoughts, the strongholds that are telling you, you're lousy, you're no good, you can never make it. You'll never get a good job. You'll never get a good spouse. You'll never have this. You'll never have that. All of those thoughts are demonic because they're all arguing against God, who says that he blesses you, provides for you, and that God gets a kick. Get this. This is a little paraphrase. God gets a kick. He gets joy out of the prosperity of his servants. He loves it. He loves it. Today is the 15th birthday of one of our grandsons. It was a joy to be able to Zell his parents some money and said, because he lives out of state, would you give this from grandma and grandpa so he can have a good birthday? So I get a text message back from him. Thank you! You know, very a convincing thank you. And you know what? It was joyful. We got a kick out of it. We were happy that we got to, and we were in a position we could do it. And so what you need to do is when the arguments, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. And here's what you have to do. You have to bring every thought, every single thought inside your mind, you have to categorize it. You have to look at it. And you have to realize, does this agree with the Bible? So, well, I don't know if it agrees with the Bible. Then you need to open the Bible and read it and find out if it agrees, because it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter if you're a little kid or an elder person on planet Earth. You could be 120, you could be 20, you could be 2. These thoughts are in your head, and they're coming against you, and you need to be able to combat it back. You need to be able to say, no, that's not from God. Again, it's not going to come in a sound that distincts it differently. You're not going to hear Pastor Randy's voice in your head. You're not hearing Pastor Josh's voice in your head. Only time you will hear their voice in your head is by going back to one of your memories and listening to a sermon that they preached inside your head, and you may hear them say it. But the random thoughts, the random voices that are in your head don't sound like someone else that you know. It sounds like you. I was preaching one time, And I mean, it happened a long time ago, but it still was pretty awesome. I was in the middle of my message and I walked over to a person that was sitting kind of like here, and it was a woman, and I didn't know the lady, never had saw her before, and just asked, I said, would you hold my hand? I said, I just feel like I'm supposed to pray in the name of Jesus against something that's inside your body, and I command it to leave in Jesus' name. That was it. That was it. Went back to my message and then heard the story later. Story later was, the woman was a regular attender at the then Crystal Cathedral, and something happened with her husband's car, and it broke down, and he had to get it fixed that day. Daughter came to our church regularly. Daughter said, why don't you come to church with me? Mom came to church. She came and sat down there. Normally, at that time, I was usually touching people's head and praying for them. I'd put my hand on their head and ask them to be prayed for, not knowing the woman was wearing a wig. Because she was in chemotherapy, and she went to the doctors, and they opened her up for surgery and sewed her up and said, go home, you got about 30 days. God gave her 8 more years from that moment, and she was cleared of cancer completely. But the voice that was inside my head was my thought. I just had a thought, and I followed the thought. I just decided to be brave, and I had this philosophy. I would rather be brave for God and wrong than afraid and right. And so in this thing, you bring every thought into captivity into the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Here is the formula. Is you need to know the different thoughts that are inside your head. You need to know if it doesn't agree with the word of God. If it agrees with God's word, it's either going to be an angelic being, the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, or you. Demons are not going to be quoting scripture to you and make you feel good. Have you ever noticed that when you have demonic thoughts, and I'll help you understand what they are, they'll produce fear, they'll produce anxiety, they'll produce hopelessness. Your body will react instantly with some emotions and feelings of fear. These are not coming from God. God is producing hope inside you. God is producing life in you. God is showing you down the way of darkness. God is wanting you to get through this, not you be destroyed by it. You with me? Let's continue. Hebrews 4 says this, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God, the Bible, is wanting to put inside your heart the thoughts and intents of God. Listen closely. Scripture is designed to go past your mind into your heart. And if you don't understand that, get my book, You Were Made for More. Get it on Amazon. Buy it today. Read it to help understand this, because here's what's happening right now. The Word of God is designed by God Himself that it will go into your head and you will collect the knowledge and information and allow you to memorize and allow you to use it as a weapon against strongholds, but it'll bypass your mind and go into your heart, and your heart will even have thoughts and intents that come from the Lord. Follow me on this one. Keep that thought. Here's where we're taking you. How do you hear God's voice? How do I know if it's God's voice? How do I hear the voice of God? To walk in the Spirit is to be one with the Spirit. You hear Him in your mind, and you feel the heart, the thoughts and intent inside your heart. Let me give you an example. We have Christians who have God in front of them, and they're following Him. That's their philosophy of life. We have others who are walking, and they believe God is beside them, and God is with them walking in life. This is most Christians that go to church. I'm with God. We have others who believe God is behind them, and wherever they go, God will protect them and get their back. Every one of them is wrong. According to Scripture, God is not in front of you. He's not beside you. He's not behind you. He is in you. He has come by the presence of the Holy Spirit to dwell with you, to actually control your heart, to give you thoughts and intents inside your heart. You should be so one with the Spirit that there are times where you are walking and you don't need to hear God tell you. You know by the intent, by what you feel, what you know inside, because you are one with Him. You are so one with Him, your mind begins to think like Him. I'm not saying you're going to become God. What I'm saying is God communicates with you through emotion, through thought, through your heart, through your intents. There are times you just sense. The book of Hebrews actually tells us that we're supposed to get to the place where our body knows the difference between good and evil. How does that happen? Living with the Holy Spirit, walking with the Holy Spirit, being one with God. God is the one that chose to send His Holy Spirit into your heart, into your spirit. He's the one that says, I will dwell with them and I will write my law upon their heart. He is the one that said and declared that He would be one with you. He is the one that said, I want to be in you, with you. He didn't say, I'll come alongside you. How do you perceive life? How do you walk around? How do you walk in the Spirit? You walk in the Spirit by being one with Him and following those intents. There are times where you will not have to hear Him say something. You'll just know it's the right thing to do. But it came from God and not from you. But there are times you will hear His voice regularly. The more Bible that you know, the more scriptures you have memorized, the more that you understand, the more He has to work with and to walk with you and keep going. John chapter 17. When I first put all the notes together with this, and you'll find it in our phone app under sermon notes, I put this whole chapter. I wanted to cover the whole chapter. I realized we didn't have enough time for that, and you'd get bored with me, so I'm going to jump at certain verses. Here's what I want you to know. Why did God leave us in this world, in a dark world, facing demonic powers and persecution and pressure? Why? I'm going to tell you. The reason why, it's Jesus' fault. It is. John 17, watch. Here's what John 17 is an entire chapter of Jesus praying to God the Father. I just got segments of it for you too. I have glorified you on earth. This is Jesus talking to the Father. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. What work did He give him to do? Go there, show everybody the Father. You have been sent there to free the captives. Do you remember in Luke chapter 4 where it talks about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, He has anointed me, and to preach the year, the Jubilee. I'm here to bring Jubilee. I'm here to heal. I'm here to set free. And Jesus says, I've done what you told me to do. So this was His assignment. His assignment was set the captives free and get people over to the Father. And now, O Father, verse 5, I have, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Let us go back pre-world in the glory that we had. Take me out of here. That's what his prayer is. And then he goes, verse 6, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. And now they have kept your word. They belong to you, Father. You've given to me. These men are mine. And now I'm going to do something with these men. And he says in verse 8, for I have given to them, these men, the words which you have given to me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you. And they have believed that you sent me. Jesus is praying, communicating with the Father, saying something out loud. John is recording it by the unction of the Holy Spirit. And he goes in verse 9, I pray for them. Aha! I pray for them. These men. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Jesus said, leave them on planet Earth, even though it's full of darkness, full of evil, full of persecution. I believe in them. That's you. Don't take them out, but keep them from the evil one. How are you going to do that? Following the voice of the Holy Spirit inside you. Verse 16, jumping to verse, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Okay, here is what happens. The sanctification process of us getting less of the world and more of the kingdom of God into our life and working through and growing in the things of God and becoming stronger in the Lord is going to happen by the word of God. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, listen to this. As you sent me, I also have sent them. So some of you are going to say, well, that's just his little group, you know, his guys. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Jesus Christ, before he left planet Earth, prayed for you personally. Your name is in the Bible. You, right here, if you believe in him, he prayed for you. This scripture has Tom Barkey in it, has Suzette Barkey in it, has Josh Lotzenheiser in it, has your name in it. Jesus got down on his knees and he prayed to the Father. And he prayed for you, and he knew what pressure you would face. He knew what persecution you would face. He knew what thoughts would combat you. He knew the enemy would attack you. He knew you'd have these voices in your head, and he prayed that he doesn't take you out of the world, but that you have victory in the world. That they all, that's us, may be one. Wow. May be one as you, Father, and as you, Father, are in me, that they may be one. Jesus is saying, let's get so close to them. We are one. Let the Holy Spirit live within them. May they even know right and wrong from inside their heart. When you have thoughts inside your mind that are going against your consciousness, going against your heart, going against what you know is right, could be the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, this is not right. Have you ever met somebody and you're maybe thinking about doing some kind of business deal with them or some kind of relationship or something else, and you just sense inside, yeah, this is not right. Have you ever noticed that when you follow those feelings, you're usually right? And when you don't follow them, you usually get burned. Hey, this is just practical stuff, guys, that they may be one as Father, that as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. When you combat the thoughts inside your head and you allow them to be captured and disciplined according to Scripture, when you have thoughts that are inside your head that are anti-God, anti-Christ, you need to evaluate them with the Word, the Bible, with Scripture. We right now in this country and this world are bombarded with things that are coming off the table of demons. You are being asked constantly to redefine God's definition of family. You're being asked constantly to redefine God's definition of creation. You're being challenged by doctrines of demons to agree with, hold, and comply with things that are being served from the table of demons and stuffed down your throat. And God is saying, I left you in this world so that you would be the light. Not that you argue back, but you don't agree with, you don't accept, you don't say, yes, that's for me. But we have to do something else. We have to believe on the one who sent us. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Wow! Do you know what Jesus just said? Do you remember the glory we had at the beginning before there was any world? Let's have that glory. that oneness, that same thought process. And now that glory that you've given me, I'm giving it to them. I want to be one with them. And the glory which you've given me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. The glory of God should bind us together, not separate us. The glory of God should be desired so that we are one body, one bread, that we're eating from the same bread, and that bread is Jesus Christ. The glory should unify us. But so many people are seeking the glory of God for their own personal power, their own personal glory, their own personal recognition. Versus, let's all be one in the Spirit. Now, in God's kingdom, He has saved every one of us. It doesn't matter the color of our skin. He saved every single one of us by the same blood, by the same sacrifice. You are facing demonic thoughts. You are facing worldly thoughts. You are facing godly thoughts. You are facing your own memories. You need to take your mind, your thought process, and evaluate it according to the Bible, and then you are able to categorize them, and you'll be able to know those are demonic thoughts. I'm pushing them aside. I'm not going to give them place. They don't have a place inside my heart. Even if they keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and keep coming, don't you get worn down by the thoughts of the world. You stand in the Word of God. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. Did you learn something today? Could we give the Lord a hand? Thank you for His Word.